Good morning, church. It is so good to be with you today. My name is Michael. I am one of the pastors here at Centerpoint Church, and we are glad that you are with us. Now, today's message, it's going to be more directed towards our church members. However, if you're not a member yet, or if you're a guest, we invite you to listen in as well. Now, today we've asked our members to gather as families, to gather as small groups, in order to participate, to join in our service today. And make no mistake, church, we are together. The church is gathered together. If you've been a member with us for some time, you have heard us say over and over again that the church is not a building. The church is the people. And today we are going to experience this at a deeper level than we ever have before. Now, before I launch into my message, I want to say this to you. On behalf of all of the pastors, all of the leaders here at Centerpoint, I want to say this. We love you. I love you. We are so proud of you. We have said over and over again about the wonderful church that we have right here. And remember, the church is the people. We have wonderful, amazing people right here. The past week or two, so many of you have volunteered in order to come in and to help serve the church, to help serve each other. Many of you have volunteered hours and hours this past week or so in order to make this live stream possible. Many of you have reached out to me. You've reached out to ask about how I am doing, about how our family is doing. Many of you have prayed for each other. Let me say, well done. You are a wonderful, wonderful church. And this is how I know that we are going to navigate the coronavirus crisis that we're facing. We're going to navigate it well. It is because of our community, because of our members, because of all of the wonderful things that each and every one of you do for each other, to serve each other. You see, as a church, our strength lies in our community. And I am convinced of this, church. This is the sense that I'm having from God. And I've shared it with other pastors. I've shared it with other members here at the church. And I've heard nothing but confirmation. The sense that I have is this. We will emerge from this crisis stronger than we were when we went into it. That the church as a whole, the church that exists across the world, will emerge stronger in the days to come. That Centerpoint Church will emerge stronger than we were when we entered this crisis. And even though we can't gather as a large group today, we are together and we are going to keep on rolling. Now, right now, our culture and our society, we're experiencing great fear because of the coronavirus, because of the response to the coronavirus. Just about every school in the state and probably across this country has closed its doors. So many teachers have been asked to move their entire classrooms, their entire curriculum online in just a matter of a day or two in order to keep serving their students. And our teachers are doing a wonderful, wonderful job. Several states right now have issued stay-at-home orders for everyone within their state that they should stay home and not leave except on this essential, important business. Several of you have reached out to me and have let me know that you have lost your jobs or that your hours have been cut. Those that work in the service industries are going to be particularly affected by this economy that we are facing, by everyone staying home and not engaging in business. Many of you will be affected. The stock market is more volatile now than it has ever been. This is causing great, great fear. Many of us are told about the need that we have to quarantine ourselves, to self-quarantine, to practice social distancing when we are out in public. And there is wisdom in all of that. However, a side effect of it is that it produces fear. Now, this crisis that we are in, it can be difficult for people to navigate. It's difficult to give up our face-to-face community because God has wired us for community. He created us to experience community with Him and with each other. Now, as your pastor, I want to say that I know your fear and I understand it. In my own life, I know what it is to not know if I'm going to have a job next week. I've told you the story several times. About 6 or 8 years ago, when one day we looked up our own personal bank account and we saw $4.32 in there. I know the fear that many of you are feeling. I know what it is to have members in my own family who are vulnerable to this virus and the fear that can go along with being concerned for them. And let me say, too, that we have been praying for you. I've had the practice for some time of praying through the directory. Every day I'll take a few names out of the directory and pray for those families. I'm going to keep doing that. We as pastors, we have committed to praying specifically and individually for each one of you, for the whole church, and also each of you individually. And I am committed, church, to lead you, to pastor you, and to serve you. Just as we've done, we're going to keep doing in the days ahead. Now, today I wanted to take a few moments, and I want to share with you how you can defeat this fear that many of you may be feeling, how you can alleviate the anxiety that you may be feeling over not knowing what the future holds. When you feel this fear well up within you, how should you respond? Well, today I want to share with you from God's Word some thoughts to remember and ways to defeat this fear that we can experience. Now, what I want you to do, I'm going to share with you a few thoughts, and I want you to write these down because I want you to remember them. And so if you don't have paper or a pen with you right now, go ahead and pause the video. Go and get paper and pen. And then when you come back, you can push play, and you'll be right where you left off. Go ahead and do that now. Are we ready? All right. The first thought that I want to share with you, that I want you to remember when you feel the fear welling up inside of you, I want you to remember this. We do not respond with fear. We respond with faith and with wisdom. As I'm seeing the fear that is sweeping across our country and across our state, I'm reminded of one of the most famous psalms in the Bible, Psalm 23. You know this psalm. Well, verses 1 and 4, they go like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you, God, are with me. And so we respond with faith, with wisdom, not with fear. Our faith reminds us that God is bigger, that God is greater, that God is still God, and that God is still good, no matter what crisis we face. And our wisdom, it encourages us to do things such as wash your hands, such as to isolate yourself if you are sick, to stay home, take practical steps in order to prevent the spread of this virus. And we need them both, church. You see, faith without wisdom, that's like a zeal without knowledge. That's irresponsible. And by the same token, wisdom without faith, well, that leads to hopelessness. Because that means that we're spending all of our time focused on this virus, focused on the crisis, and we are forgetting the God who is greater than any of it. Remember this, church. We don't respond with fear. We respond with faith and with wisdom. The second thing I want you to remember is this. This crisis will pass. This crisis will pass. This too shall pass. It does not say this too shall last. It's going to pass. And this isn't the first crisis that you have faced in your life, is it? We've all faced trials and ordeals throughout our lives. In fact, people have always faced various crises at one point in time or another. In fact, the Bible says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you. That's part of life in this broken world, is that we are going to experience crises. And this coronavirus, it's just another example of how the world around us is falling apart. But the good news is this: God is in the business of restoration. Many of you have experienced God's restoration in your own lives and in your own walks and in your own families and at your workplaces. And in your hearts and in your minds, God is in the business of restoration. And God is working restoration right now, even in the midst of this crisis. And so remember, this crisis will end. The third thing I want you to remember, I want you to write this down, is this: focus on the eternal. Focus on the eternal. Don't focus on what's right in front of us. Don't focus on all the negative things that are going on around us. We need to be aware of them, but don't focus on them. Focus on God and on what He is doing. The Bible says this, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you." Do you need help navigating this crisis? God is here to help you. In fact, as an illustration of this, this week I met with two people who are seeking baptism, who are wanting to be baptized to show their faith in Christ, their newfound faith. Now, how we're going to do this, how we're going to navigate a baptism, we're still getting our ducks in a row on that regard. But the point is this, God is at work in this world. God is at work in your life. God is building the community of Christ. God hasn't given up what He is doing. And so we want to join Him. We want to focus on the eternal. Now, this is what faith tells us. It tells us these three things. It reminds us to respond with faith and with wisdom. It reminds us that this crisis will end. And it reminds us to focus on the eternal. Now, wisdom speaks as well. Wisdom says, and write this down, not everyone is at equal risk. See, the CDC has identified those most vulnerable to both catching the virus and also to experiencing severe symptoms are people that are over the age of 60 who also have some form of a prior medical condition that compromises your immune system. Things such as frequent respiratory infections or if you're being treated for cancer. Now, let me say this. If you fall into this category, both over the age of 60 and have some form of a prior medical condition, you need to take this virus really seriously. As your pastor, I cannot encourage you enough to say, stay home. Strongly limit the amount of people that come to your home. Do all you can to keep your health up, to remain physically healthy. Now, people in the group that have either one of these things true, either they're over the age of 60, but they're in good overall health, or who are under the age of 60, but have some sort of a compromising medical condition, they're at more of a moderate risk of catching COVID-19 and experiencing severe symptoms. And people for whom neither of these things are true, that you're both under the age of 60 and you're in good overall health, you have a lower chance of catching COVID-19. Now, this doesn't mean there is no risk. It just means that it's a lower risk. And so remember this. When this fear swells into you, take stock of where you are, of your age, and also of your physical health. And remember, not everyone is at equal risk. The final thought I want to share with you, and I want you to write this down. I want you to remember this. God wants to bless others through you. God wants to work through you in the midst of this crisis to bless, to serve the people around you. As we've already said, God is still working. God is still moving in this world, and He wants to do it through you. Specifically, God wants to spread hope through you. God wants to spread compassion through you. And God wants to spread community through you. And we're going to talk about each of these in the coming weeks. The Bible says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God still has good things that He wants to do through you. This crisis has not changed any of that. Now, I want to address in particular this fear that you may have about becoming sick yourself. And if you do get sick, how will you care for yourself? Let me say this. If you get sick, the church is here for you. If you get sick, we will do all we can to serve you. And to accomplish this, today we are launching a new ministry here at Centerpoint simply entitled The Care Ministry. And so if you are sick, if you're not able to leave your home, or if you fall into that high-risk category I mentioned earlier, but you need groceries delivered or you need medicine delivered, contact the church office. We're going to put the church's contact information on the screen. Email, phone call, and we will have somebody deliver that to your house for you. We don't want you to fear that you're going to have to not only navigate your own sickness, but then also go out and get your own groceries and get your own medicine. We, the church, will care for you. That's our calling. That's our mission as the church. Now, if you're healthy, I need your help. I need you to volunteer. I need your help to deliver these groceries and the medicine that our people are going to need. If you're healthy, I need you to be what we are calling a care driver, someone that is willing to pick up items for people and then deliver it to their house. And what that delivery will look like is this. You'll bring it to their front door, and once everything's at their front door, then you'll knock on the door or ring the doorbell, and then just go get in your car. And from the car, you can wave at them as they come to the door. That way, there's low or even no contact whatsoever between you and someone that's navigating sickness. I need your help as a care driver. Now, if you are sick yourself or if you are in your home, but you still want to participate in the care ministry, we need your help. We need what we are calling care callers, people that are willing to call people through the directory and simply encourage them to check on them. Now, if this is intimidating to you, or if calling somebody that you don't know and you don't know what to say, you can say something like this. Pastor Michael asked me to give you a call to check on you. How are you doing? Do you have any needs? And how can I pray for you? It's as simple as that. And in these simple ways, we are going to grow our sense of community with each other through this crisis. We are going to combat and defeat the fear that many of us are facing. Now, once again, if you're able to volunteer as a care driver or as a care caller, I need you to contact the church office. Somebody will get back to you. But give us your email, give us your phone number so that we can get a hold of you. You know, the church has a rich history of serving the sick. This isn't anything new. In fact, during the days of the Roman Empire, when the plague was sweeping through the land, many people would flee the cities out of an effort to avoid getting sick with the plague. Do you know who stayed behind to care for the sick? It's the Christians, the followers of Christ. And out of this desire to care for the sick and to serve the sick, the first hospitals were built. And ever since, the Christians, the followers of Jesus, have been about the business of caring for the sick and creating all kinds of organizations in order to help them do so. One of them you may have heard of is the Red Cross, founded out of a desire to care for the sick and the wounded around them, to show the love of God to people suffering most. Now, we don't want anyone during this time to feel isolated or to feel like you're on an island. It is not good for your physical health, it's not good for your emotional health, and it's not good for your spiritual health. And so this is why I need your help with this care ministry. As a care caller, as a care driver, we want to do all we can to not only maintain our community, but to even grow our community in the days ahead. Now, when you feel this fear that we've talked about at the beginning, when you feel that welling up inside of you, I want you to remember these truths, these things that we've spoken of, these things that you've written down, that we don't need to respond with fear. We respond with faith and with wisdom. I want you to remember that this crisis will end. I want you to remember to focus on the eternal. I want you to remember that not everyone is at equal risk. And I want you to remember that God wants to bless others through you. God hasn't given up his work, and he wants to accomplish it through you. Now, before we close this morning, I want to share several commitments that we as the pastors are making to you. And then there's a few things that I need from you as well, a few action steps that I need you to take. The first commitment that we're going to make to you is this. You will not go through this crisis alone. God is with you. The church is with you. We are in this together, church. The reason that we gather together as a church is to experience fellowship, to experience community, to be devoted to each other. None of that has changed because of the COVID-19 crisis. If anything, Our desire for community and our work for community is going to grow. It's not going to lessen. And so you are not alone, and you will not go through this alone. That's my first commitment I'm making to you. The second commitment we're making to you is that we will have opportunities to worship together. Now, Mr. Ken led us in worship, and Matt Bevins worked on bass, and it was wonderful. And moving forward, worship is going to look a little bit different each time, and that's okay. We may even play some videos of worship. But hey, we don't need to be gathered together as a large group in order to worship. You don't need to be surrounded by 100 or 200 people in order to worship. Jesus says, where two people are gathered in my name, that he is there. And so we are going to provide ways to worship and encourage you to keep living out worship in your own life. Another commitment that we are making to you is that we will continue to do all we can to help you grow spiritually. We're not putting our spiritual growth on hold because of COVID-19. I'm still going to be teaching you. Others will be teaching as well. I'm going to launch smaller teachings and devotions throughout the week. You still have access to your small groups. You see, right now, the small group is where you can experience community the most, where you can come together and pray together and encourage one another and have fellowship with each other. You need your small group right now. And we as the pastors, we as the leaders of this church, your small group leaders, we are going to do all we can to continue to help you grow spiritually. Another commitment that I'm making to you today is that we are going to equip you to share your hope with your neighbors like never before. Our mission as the church is to share the love of God with everyone. In fact, Jesus says this. He says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. People desperately need to see the love of God today. Your neighbors, the people living right down the road from you that are experiencing great fear and great hopelessness, they need to see and to feel the love of God today. And so we're going to equip you and show you how to share God's love in the midst of COVID-19. And finally, we are committing to you that we will do all we can to care for you. This is the care ministry that I referenced earlier. If you get sick, we will care for you. We will serve you. If you're a member of Centerpoint Church, we're going to do all we can to minister to you. Now, if you're not a member of Centerpoint Church, we want to serve you as well. The church is about the business of serving, of caring. That's what Jesus showed us through the Gospels when he walked this earth, and that's what we are going to do. I am going to do all I can to serve you, and I am extremely confident the church will step up. Many will volunteer to either be care drivers or care callers. Now is the time to be the church. Now we have this amazing opportunity to show the hands and the feet of Jesus to everyone, church. Let's not let this opportunity pass us by. Let's take a God's love that we treasure, that we value so much, and let's share it with anyone and everyone that we can right now. Now, these are the commitments that we are making to you today. However, there's a few things that I need you to do as well. I want you to write these down, and then I want you to act on them. Here are three action steps that I need you to take, church. The first one is this. I need your contact information, your email, and your phone number. Now, you give this to all kinds of people. You give it to your work. You give it to your kids' school. You give it to any club or organization you're a part of. We, as your church, we need it as well. We cannot serve you. We cannot help you if we can't communicate with you. Now, we've sent out several emails this week from the church's membership email list that we have. If you didn't receive those, that means we need your email address. Go ahead and send it to the church office, and we'll show that on the screen once again, the email address and the phone number. The second thing that I need you to do, and the second action step that I need from you, and write this down, I need you to be intentional with your small group. Now is not the time to fall back and to let it slip. Now is the time to press in. Now, many of you can't meet with your small group face to face, and that's okay. If that's your situation, make phone calls. Call the members of your group. Sign up for online video conferencing so that you can see each other through the computer and you can speak to one another. Right now, you need to be in a small group more than any other time in our church. Now, we have always said that small groups are the life of the church. This has always been true, but it's more true now than ever. The way you're going to experience community is through your small group. And this is the model that we see in the New Testament church. In the New Testament, the believers, the early church believers, they gathered both in the large groups and the temple courts, and they gathered house to house in what are small groups. Now today, we can't gather in the temple courts. We can't have our large group gatherings, but we can meet house to house, either in person, face to face, or digitally through the phone or through the computer. And it's needed now more than ever. In fact, what's interesting, if you look through church history, you'll see that the fastest growth of the church was when it met house to house. Maybe God is looking to do that again. For years, many of us have prayed for revival. We have prayed that we would experience community with God and with each other in deeper ways than ever before. Maybe now is the time that we can do this. Maybe God is preparing us for a great work that He's going to do in our nation and in our land, and it's going to be from house small groups. Press in to your small group. The third action step that I need you to take, and I want you to write this down, and I want you to act on it, is this. I need you to sign up for online giving. Since we can't gather in a large group, you can't bring your gifts here. We can't collect them as we usually do. But I need you to sign up for online giving. Now, why is this? Because the church is still serving. The church is still meeting the needs of those who have them. In fact, the demands for ministry that we have, they're not going to decrease. They're going to increase. And so I need you to sign up for online giving. If you go to our website, cp-church.com, there's a green button in the upper right-hand corner of the screen. Click on that. It says online giving, and it'll walk you through the steps that you need to take to sign up. Now, several of you have said you're going to mail in your tithes and your offerings, and that's okay too. But either way, if you're not going to be able to mail in your tithes and offerings, I need you to sign up for online giving. Now, I want to end this morning with prayer. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for our church. I want to pray for the people in our community who are hurting. Now, we don't know what the future is going to bring. This situation is changing every day. There's something new to see. But I can tell you this, we are not fearful. We don't respond with fear. We respond with faith and with wisdom. And no matter what tomorrow may bring, we can remember this. God is still God. God is still good. Romans 8:28 is still true. It says this, we know in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. If you love God, God is working to bring all things out for good for you. Now, as you love God, as you open up your life to Him, as you give Him your heart, as you give Him your life, He is able to work it for good for you. And so God is still working in us and through us. Let's pray, church. Lord, I thank You that You are greater than anything that we face, God. Even COVID-19, that You are greater, Lord, than any fear that we may have, that we can defeat this fear only because we have You, because our God is greater and our God is stronger. Lord, I want to pray for those who are watching this video right now who are feeling overwhelmed by fear. God, would You give them peace? Would You give them the strength to navigate the days ahead, oh Lord? Because, God, You are the Prince of Peace. God, I pray for those who are navigating a job loss. I had two people reach out to me this week Some let me know that their hours are being cut or that they might not even have a job next week. Lord, you are our provider. You are the source of all good things. And so, God, would you provide for them, not only materially, not only would you provide them with a job or with financial stability, but would you provide them with peace to know that all things are going to work out for good as we love God, as we make our lives and our hearts available to him. God, I pray a blessing over our healthcare workers right now, Lord, that they would have wisdom to be able to navigate this healthcare crisis they're facing and all of the people that are coming in for treatment. God, I pray, Lord, for our grocery store workers, for the gas station attendants, for the people that are still at work and are still interacting with everyone every day, God. Lord, would you protect them? Would you keep them from having and getting this virus, God? And Lord, for those who are already sick, God, I pray for healing. You are our healer. And so, God, I pray, would you bring healing today? Lord, we pray for quick recoveries and for mild symptoms. Now, some of you may be watching this and you may have never opened up your life to Christ. You may not know what it means to know that God is with you, that he is walking with you every day of your life. You cannot go through this crisis without walking with Jesus. You need the assurance that salvation brings. And so if that is you, I want you to pray with me like this. God, I thank you for your love. God, I thank you for your forgiveness, for all the ways that I've fallen short, for the parts of my life, God, that I have broken. Lord, I rejoice that you bring restoration. God, I receive your gift of salvation today. I give you my heart. I give you my life, Lord. And I want to walk with you every day for the rest of my life. Amen. Now, after this message, I want you to pray with those that you're with. If that's with your family, with your small group, maybe you're with some neighbors, I want you to pray with and for each other. If you're watching this alone, I want you to reach out to somebody, give them a call, and I want you to pray with them. Ask them, how can I serve you? How can we serve each other? I want you to contact your small group. Remember, now is the time to press into a small group. In fact, if you are not a member of a small group, or if you're not an active member of a group right now, you need to be in one. Contact the church office. Give us a note. Send us an email. Give us a call. And we will get you connected with a small group. You need to be in a small group. Well, God bless you, church. I speak for the pastors when I say we love you. I love you. And we'll see you soon.